One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai. Kosai.org.
Merkle Media.
Lushback Fridays here on Macroaggressions, taking you back to January 2022, episode 198, The Coming Digital Pandemic. Hey, if you're thinking of converting some of your soon-to-be worthless Federal Reserve notes into tangible gold and silver, go check out our sponsor, Wise Wolf. Get into the Wolfpack Autobuy program over at www.macroaggressions.gold. Now enjoy the show.
What does the goddamn line say, Tony?
Please do not use gendered language.
Then what? I'll be arrested, put in airport jail.
Look, you're going completely sideways, man.
It's a big club, and you ain't in it.
How dare you?
Mr. Speaker, the President of the United States.
I'm Chris Hansen with Dave on NBC.
Jack Mary is Tack Theratrix.
Hi, I'm Spartacus.
Steve Jackson, Sacramento, he, him.
Steven Seagal.
Sex offender guy.
I'm Keith Morris.
This is Mumbai Gaddafi.
I'm Rick James, bitch.
Sorting through the lies.
The hijacker's passport was found blocks from the World Trade Center crash site, if you can believe that.
We cannot track $2.3 trillion in transactions.
And uncovering the centuries-long plan for world domination.
Learning about Cuba, having some food.
Let's talk about Chinese people.
Have you ever been in a Turkish prison?
I have
Swangled in Fort
Lauderdale. I have sent six of my Libyan missiles to blow up the Sears hardware department.
Nothing could be more fun than jumping off a cliff to German bisexuals.
Oh, you English are so superior, aren't you?
Thank you, comrade.
And now, Macroaggressions.
That's what assholes call it.
With your host.
Buddy, I don't know who you are, but you're about to get chlamydia.
Charlie Robinson.
Hey, Whitey, where's your hat?
You want to drop the blame on Charlie and say it's all Charlie's fault.
He was a retard.
I get some goddamn diuretic.
Welcome to Macroaggressions. I'm your host, Charlie Robinson. If you are watching us on iconic Rockfin, YouTube, Odyssey, or now on band.video, or you're listening wherever podcasts are served, thanks so much. We appreciate your amazing support. You can connect with me through the website, theoctopusofglobalcontrol.com. You can follow me on Twitter at Macroaggressions, though I make no claims or representations that I will be there for much longer, considering my smart ass and their lack of appreciation for that. My books are available on Amazon. Yeah, the first one, The Octopus of Global Control. The second one, The Controlled Demolition of the American Empire, a number one bestseller I wrote with Jeff Berwick. And the third one, Hypocrisy, Surviving in a World of Cultural Double Standards. That's the newest one that's out. That one has been, it's been well received, and I certainly am appreciative of that. Look, let's talk about let's get the business component of this out of the way. Helin 951 is the newest sponsor to the show. They've been amazing. They sent over, I've got four more bottles of this. This is the magic potion. This is the stuff that when you drink it, it ain't gonna taste great. But you know what? The reason for that is they decided they didn't want to compromise the quality of the product. They knew they could add flavoring to it to make it taste a little bit better, and they didn't even bother with it. They just said, look, anything that tastes this bad has to be good for you. Basically, I don't think that's their official slogan, but I don't know, maybe. I've been taking it since they sent it over. It's really good. I'm overplaying the taste of it. It doesn't taste great, but it doesn't taste awful either. But what it is a fermented soy beverage that the owners, you know, they started this company back in 1990. They had family friends that came across this product, and they were having a bad situation with cancer. And after after exploring the fermented soy beverage product, their physical results turned around. I don't know how to say this in a way that won't get everybody sued. So let me just say that the people that are really interested in Helin 951 are people that are interested in protecting themselves, protecting their health, especially against, let's just say, the number two leading cause of death in America. Wink, wink. So you can figure that out. I'll tell you what, do this. Just do this. Go to the website and read about it. Just read. They've got some videos there. Listen to the videos and see what you think. I was impressed. I was really impressed. There's a lot of thought that's gone into this. Their product is the highest quality. They don't mess around with American soybeans or anything like that. The soybeans that they use in their products come from Mongolia, a certain region. They are grown in a sort of soil that works best for this. There's no GMOs. There's no pesticides or anything like that. It's organic growing always. And the fermentation process does something to the product. It makes it more potent. So do this. Go to Helin 951. It's pronounced Helin. It's spelled Halen, halin951.com/macro. They set up a landing page for us and everything. And just take a look, see what you think. If it's right, pull the trigger, promo code macro on your way out the door. But I think it's worth taking a look at. And let's face it. Now, here we are in the early parts of 2022. We are, I don't know, reading stories of how China has just voluntarily closed a couple of their ports for COVID-related reasons or whatever their explanation is. This is bad. This is really bad. This is a bad, bad sign. You don't normally get bad news telegraphed to you weeks in advance, but you are with this. This is going to be a supply chain catastrophe. Okay. So do this. My partners over at My Patriot Supply built a landing page for us so that you can buy storable food. It's called preparewithmacroaggressions.com. And if you go through there, you can find discounts on 4 week supply of food, 3 month supply of food, and all kinds of products. They've got everything that you could possibly imagine there. Take a look. You simply do not want to be a day late on this. And frankly, I don't think you're going to be a day late. You better, like, people need to start pulling the trigger on this stuff now. And I don't care if you use my sponsor, somebody else's sponsor that's doing this, or if you are just going to the grocery store and buying a bunch of extra stuff. I don't care. I want you guys to be taken care of. You know this is coming. You're listening to these obscure podcasts that certainly aren't considered mainstream. You're getting information that nobody else is getting. You're getting information way ahead of time. Maximize that. Use that to your advantage. Take the next step. If you know about this stuff, if you know supply chain issues are coming, if you know that food is going to be scarce and in demand, and you're going to have fights in grocery stores, and you know this is coming, and you chose not to do anything about it well in advance, oh, you are going to regret that so much. So do this. Take the additional step of action on top of this. This is all conceptual right now when the shelves aren't necessarily bare, although we're getting reports of in some parts all over the country here in America and throughout the world of some stores being bare. You don't want to be late on this. You want to be early. Pull the trigger on it now. If you're interested through my supplier at preparewithmacroaggressions.com, great. If you're going to do it on your own, great. Just do it. That's all that matters. And I think that when we are proactive and things like this, we'll be way better off. It's not to say that you're not going to feel it. You're still going to feel it. Your friends and family are going to feel it. But do yourself a favor. My God, you know it's coming. We all know this is coming. And speaking of things that we know are coming because they get telegraphed to us, I want to get into a topic that we have heard about. We've talked about a little bit. Other people have done a real great job on it. Whitney Webb has done some amazing work on that. And what I'm talking about is CyberPolygon. This is a simulation of a cyber attack that was conducted by the World Economic Forum, you know, our friends over at the World Economic Forum, Klaus Schwab, who, you know, I mean, I've kind of joked about the World Economic Forum being the Fourth Reich, but I'm only half kidding. Because if you expect the Nazis to be wearing Hugo Boss uniforms and goose stepping through the Arc de Triomphe like they did in the 40s, that's not going to happen. It's not going to happen that way. It's going to happen with bureaucrats in $4,000 suits, okay? It's happening at Davos. It's happening with the World Economic Forum. They very well might be the Fourth Reich. They've got the philosophy. They've got the power. They've got banks involved. Hell, they are the banks. You know, so this is a dangerous group of people. But like any organization, be that the Third Reich or the Fourth Reich, you're going to need the people to get in line with you, or else none of this stuff is going to work. So you can do that a couple ways. You can provide a policy that's so outstanding that everybody has to get on board with your programs, right? You show up at a time when the country needs you or the world needs you, and you talk about these great ideas and all these things that you're going to do, and you convince everybody to vote for you or join your team or get on board with this, and you have this dynamic personality comes forward and leads people into this. And you could do that with a good idea. You could polarize people and get a big group of people together to follow you if you have a fantastic idea. But they don't have a fantastic idea. So what they're left to do is you go to plan B, which probably works as well, maybe even better. And that is scare the shit out of you in following them, right? Scare you into compliance. So what the warlords over in Davos have planned for us is a cyber attack. Now, I'm not speculating about this because, I guess technically it is speculation, but it's not wild. I'm not on speculation island necessarily for this. This is an educated guess. Let's just call it that. And the reason why it's an educated guess as opposed to just a random guess is because when you do things like have Event 201 and you write documents like the SPARS pandemic document, and you do things like the Rockefellers did in 2010 with Lockstep, and you do Crimson Contagion, and you have all of these simulations and war games that go live, 9/11, there was like 50 of them happening then. What winds up happening for people like me and listeners like you is that you start to get better and more disciplined at recognizing the signs when you see hardcore government fuckery afoot. And that's what we see. Now, you don't have to be a conspiracy theorist to have questions about Event 201. You just have to be paying attention. And Event 201, of course, was held October 22nd, 2019, New York City, joint venture between the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation, Johns Hopkins Medical Center, and the World Economic Forum, among others, including the CIA, the Chinese CIA, and all. I mean, it was a packed house. But those were the three main drivers. World Economic Forum is the common denominator in all of these things. They've got their fingerprints all over the place. They're running the show. So, and they're not even really disguising it. I mean, you can find Event 201. It's not like it's on the dark web or anything. You can go watch the simulation, like on their website and everything. They don't think that you're smart enough to figure this out. They really don't. And maybe, you know, let's be honest, maybe there's a large segment of the population that isn't smart enough to figure this out. But it's not this audience. We have questions. We recognize when things don't add up. And so we rightly have questions about that. So I think that I want to read some things that Uncle Klaus said, and I don't know, you tell me if this sounds like a threat or if this sounds like a prediction or a promise. So, and I'm not going to do it in his in his German accent, which no offense to anybody out there watching or listening who's German, but can we all agree that your accent is super fucking scary? Okay. And when Klaus Schwab says this with his German accent, I don't know. It just sounds way more dangerous than if it was, I don't know, Cotillion Spain with the lisping and everything. Anyway, a frightening scenario. This is Klaus Schwab, not Klaus Schwab Jr. My friend Eric Hollerbach, who called me yesterday, and I see it ringing, Eric Hollerbach. I pick up the, hello, slave. It's your favorite oligarch, Klaus Schwab Jr. He's out of his fucking mind. Okay, this is the real Klaus Schwab. A frightening scenario of a comprehensive cyber attack that could bring a complete halt to the power supply, transportation, hospital services, our society as a whole. The COVID-19 crisis would be seen in this respect as a small disturbance in comparison to a major cyber attack. Well, he's not wrong. I mean, if you do the cyber attack right, and by right, I mean in a way that destroys society, and you target the power supply, that right there makes it 100 times worse than COVID. But transportation and the dependence that we have in the West, though it's not limited to the Western world, but the dependence that we have in our supply chain issues, our just-in-time delivery services, the need for trucking. People have rightly described the trucking industry. I know a lot of truckers listen to this show too, which is really cool. I don't blame you. I listened to podcasts when I was driving a moving van from Denver to Vegas with all my mom's stuff. All I do is listen to podcasts the whole time. So if you're a trucker and you're listening, write to me. But the truckers have been described as the red blood cells of this country, you know, delivering oxygen. And without them, we've got big problems. And we've talked about that in previous episodes about the issues that are happening at the Port of Long Beach and the Port of California and how that's trucking related, but not in the way that the media is telling you. So if they are to disrupt the transportation and power supply, it's a catastrophe. I mean, it's Mad Max world. I mean, you think fighting people for toilet paper was bad. I mean, you're going to need to go in there like strapped if you want to get, I don't know, the last watermelon or whatever. I mean, not to go back to my sponsors, but get yourself fucking prepared. I mean, you want to be ahead of things on this, especially when Klaus Schwab is saying what is coming. You know, if I'm reading this speech, if I'm reading this Klaus Schwab speech, everyone goes, yeah, you might be right. When he's reading it, you get the feeling that he knows something you don't know. Because he does. Because these guys, they don't sit along and just wait and say, you know what would be great? Would be if we had a, you know, we want to remake society and everything. If we had a massive pandemic, wouldn't that be great? It'd be great. We could just do all kinds. We could get rammed through all of our ridiculous agendas. It'd be fantastic. They don't sit around and wait for that to happen organically. They make it happen. I mean, we understand the natures of false flags. If your enemy is not willing to attack you, if you're looking for a war and they just refuse to attack you, you attack yourself. Blame it on them and say, well, that's the justification that I need to go to war against you. I mean, look at the Reichstag fire. So when Klaus Schwab is talking about how a cyber attack will be worse than COVID, and we know he's got his fingerprints all over COVID, and then that happened with Event 201, which they were involved in, simulating the outbreak of a coronavirus, and then it winds up happening just like they predicted it. I don't know. Maybe pay attention to Klaus Schwab. But it's not limited to him, okay? Because there's other people at the World Economic Forum that are saying the same thing. You've got Jeremy Jurgens, who's the managing partner of the World Economic Forum and a guy from Harvard. He says, I believe that there will be another crisis. It will be more significant. It will be faster than what we've seen with COVID. The impact will be greater. And as a result, the economic and social implications will be even more significant. Again, these people know something we don't know. You know how I mentioned earlier, China's closing their ports for some preemptive thing because of COVID or whatever. And you go, what does that mean? And you go, well, if they're closing their ports, obviously nothing's getting in, but nothing's going out. So all that stuff that you need, that medicine, the new computer, the computer chips for everything, Nike shoes, you name it, whatever you think is made in China, it might not be coming. And then you know how long that takes, that trip takes to go to America. Let's just keep this between America and China, though I recognize that China exports everywhere. China to America, you know that there's issues at the Port of Long Beach where there's causing delays there to the supply chain. So now you've got kinks in the supply chain on both ends. At the receiving port in Long Beach and at the departure port in China. You don't have to be a supply chain expert to understand that that is going to cause disruptions, right? So when you hear these guys talking about how there's going to be another, I believe that there will be another crisis. Do you believe that there's going to be another crisis, Jeremy Jurgens, or do you know that there's going to be another crisis? I think he knows that there's going to be another crisis. And I think he has to say, I think that there is. Well, why do you think that? Oh, because you know, in that room over there, we've got all the drawing board, you know, we've got it all laid out. That's why I think that there's going to be a crisis. Of course, these guys aren't speculating about this stuff. It's coming. It's coming. It's just a matter of when is it coming? So this is what they want to create. Okay. They just created a medical pandemic. And we've been living through that for almost 2 years. We see the ramifications of that. We see some of the ramifications of that. We don't really even know what the full extent of the consequences of this is. It'd be impossible to measure the damage it's done financially, sociologically, you know, the mental illness, lives lost, misdiagnosis, putting people on ventilators. How do you calculate that? You don't, but you just know it's a catastrophe. And they're saying that the digital, you know, pandemic, the new digital pandemic will be much worse than that. So you got that to look forward to, which is nice. The goal. This is the goal. Bring key elements of society and the economy to a stop while they shift the resources to the top. That's really what's going on. The wealth of this world is being stolen by these people in a variety of ways. And part of when they create these dilemmas, these crises, because they create them and they know when they're going to happen, they also take additional steps to profit from them. And it's not just financial profit, you know, of course that's always going to be part of it, but it's also an opportunity to remove rights and change laws and create, you know, give you the justification to say, well, we have to have blanket immunity for our products because even though they're rushed to market, you know, we've got to rush them to market because this is like all hands on deck. It's such an emergency. You can't expect us to rush through the product testing of our vaccines and get sued. We're trying to help. We're here to help. You got to give us immunity from all this. And the government says, okay. We'll give you blanket immunity from any of your products. Anything that happens to these people that have taken your products, we got your back. We won't let them sue you. You know, so that's how they do it. They remake laws, they change social norms, things like that. Always to benefit them. You don't see them giving us rights back. You're still taking your shoes off to get on an airplane. You understand this. So, but here's the areas that it's going to impact with this, with that Cyber Polygon's talking about in this simulated or fake cyber attack that's most definitely going to happen. Food supply chain. What did Henry Kissinger say? You control the oil, you control nations. You control the food, you control the people. Now, if we are in charge of the food supply, and we are decent human beings, we will make sure that the people get the food just as fast as we can get them the food. We will do whatever we can to make sure that the food supply chain has as little impact as possible, as negatively impacted as minimally as possible. That would be what we would be doing, right? But let's think of it from their perspective. They hate us. There's no debate about that. They're very clear. They hate our guts. We know what they think of us and how they want us to live. Do you really think they're going to be in a huge rush to fix the supply chain with regard to food and medicine, for that matter, when it's such a great opportunity to starve us out? I mean, where's the incentive for them? The depopulation guys that are looking to kill all of us, if you're waiting for them to fix the problem that they themselves created, you will be waiting until you starve to death. Again, being proactive puts you in a position where you aren't impacted by all of this. You'll be impacted by some of it. There's no getting around this. What's coming is going to impact everybody. It's just a matter of degree. The more you're prepared, the more you're awake, the more time you have right now to make moves in advance of this, the better off you'll be. But if you bury your head in the sand and pretend like, oh, well, that's Cyber Polygon, they wouldn't do that. That's too crazy. Well, okay. But you will have to bear the consequences of that line of thinking. And if you're wrong, you're dead. It's really pretty stark. And I'm not trying to... And let me be clear of my intentions with this episode. I'm not trying to scare everybody, but I fully recognize that reading about this and talking about Cyber Polygon is going to scare people. I'm not trying to scare you. It's just that the information is scary. But we have two choices. Get scared away and pretend like it's not coming, or deal with it. Let's get scared right now. Let's get that out of our system. And then let's get logical. Let's start preparing and start thinking about this. Okay, this is coming. Let's understand what it is the best we can. Because the more you understand it, the better you'll be able to move out of the way. You'll be able to position yourself. Maybe I need more of this. Maybe I don't need to focus on that. Maybe I need gold and silver. Maybe I don't give a shit about having money in the bank, because money in the bank, I won't be able to access it anyway during a cyber pandemic because all the banks will be shut. You have time now. Cash will be worth something. Maybe not a lot as it's hyperinflating away, but it's good to have some cash. Heating systems will go down. And let me say that I say that now when the Northern Hemisphere is in the winter. But let me just broaden that a little bit. Heating and cooling systems will go down, depending on where you live. I grew up in like the hottest place in the world. So if the air conditioning goes down, everybody in my town like went to the mall. You know, that's like, hope their air conditioning works. But if not, you're in for a rough ride. So the heat is just as dangerous as the cold, depending on where you are. Internet and communications. Okay, this is a big one, because for better or worse, we have walked ourselves into a situation where we're extremely dependent on the internet, online banking, emails, maybe even work from home, Zoom calls, checking, you know, VoIP phones, just general information, sports scores. Let's not discount the importance of sports scores, goddammit. But these things are all going to be real. They're going to be cut off communication. So when I say internet/communications, let's put cell phones on there too, because we're talking about picking up the phone and trying to call somebody when there's a bug in the software at AT&T that's crashed their system and now it's all down and now your phone doesn't work. Think about that feeling. Try to imagine that feeling at that moment when you go, like, you have you ever been in your house and the power goes out and there's that split second when you go, is this just my house or have they finally done it? Have they finally shut the power off to the world and they're going to kill us? You know, maybe it's just my conspiratorial mind that immediately goes to that place. But if I woke up tomorrow and my cell phone didn't work and there was no internet, I would start thinking maybe this is a local problem. And as it went on and on and on, I would start to think maybe it's a bigger problem. But the problem is you wouldn't know because the communication lines are shut off. So it's going to be very scary on top of that. So get yourself prepared for disruptions in that sort of way. Like, have a plan with your family. If something goes wrong and I can't get a hold of you, where are we meeting? We're all meeting at home, or you say your mom lives 20 miles away from you. You say to your mom, don't come to me, I'll come to you. Like, treat it like it's an earthquake or something, or a tornado or a hurricane or wherever you live, whatever sort of weather catastrophe you have and what sort of plans you have for dealing with your friends and family for that. Revisit that. Don't tell them about the cyber thing unless you want to freak them out, unless it's somebody you can actually talk to about that. But just kind of on the down low, reaffirm, like, if something bad goes wrong, we're doing this, this, and this, right? Like, again, proactivity is going to be key. You're not going to get any points for it right now. In fact, you might get looked at like you're crazy. But when it happens, and I hope it doesn't happen, obviously, that goes without saying, but if these people put their plans in place and stuff like this does happen, you're going to be feeling a lot better off knowing that you've made some moves ahead of time. So financial transactions are going to be impacted with this. They talk about it in the Cyber Polygon event. The SWIFT banking system is going to be shut down. And they talk about the power grid going down. So, you know, just food supply, heating and cooling systems, internet communications, financial transactions, and the power grid. That's all. So this exercise was conducted on July 8th of 2020. So it's been around for, well, we're coming up on, it's like a year and a half since they did this. Now, when they did Event 201, the time between when they ran that exercise in New York and when everything went crazy in New York was about 6 months or so. So we are, and SPARS pandemic 2017, that came out. We didn't start to see the effects until 2020. So I'm not saying it's going to happen tomorrow. I'm just saying that these guys don't go through the extraordinary lengths of plotting and planning and role-playing and simulating all this stuff and bringing in partners from hundreds of different partners participated in Cyber Polygon. Hundreds of them. You don't go through all of that work unless you're up to something. You know, it's a lot of time. It's a lot of money. It's a lot of effort. It's a lot of thinking. It's a lot of coordinating of people's schedules. Very important people to get them in these rooms or get them on these calls to run through this scenario. And you don't do all of that for nothing. So who was there? Who was at Cyber Polygon? Who was role playing this? Well, high tech companies were there. A lot of high tech companies, a lot of banks, internet companies, all the major ones. Cybersecurity companies were there. Mainstream media, of course. Those dirtbags, because they have to coordinate their lies. Think tanks were there. Lots of think tanks thinking about this stuff, I assume. And Interpol, international police. I don't suppose Interpol was involved to round up all of the participants of Cyber Polygon. I think that they're probably, Interpol was brought in to discuss how they're going to deal with all this stuff. Because you want to talk about chaos, man. This is going to be wild when the power goes out, the internet goes out, the food doesn't show up when it's supposed to come. Now you've got hungry, scared people. Many of them were, you know, low information to begin with. Now they're no information. Something tells me that the fear will be able to get through. Like, there'll be some level of media, I don't know, somehow. There'll be a broadcast, you know, maybe it's the emergency broadcast system that all goes to your phones here in America, where it's like, maybe. There were 42 partners from Russia at this event, because Russia is partnered with the World Economic Forum. And I'm not a Russia did it sort of guy. I got no problem with Russia. But they're part of this. A lot of countries are part of this. You want to know one country that's not? China. Not involved in the World Economic Forum's Cyber Polygon. I have a theory on why this is. You know, China's extremely important. And they, for the reasons that we know. And they're a big player on the world stage, obviously. But they have a different philosophy on these things. They're already a top-down authoritarian regime. I mean, you would think that Klaus Schwab and his guys would have a boner for China, seeing as they want to emulate them. But they don't want them involved in this. And I have a theory on why. I think that when this cyber attack happens, it has to be blamed on somebody. And the one group that's not there is China. So I think it's going to be blamed on them. Now, would China be behind something like a cyber attack here? Maybe. But why? You know, I mean, if they're about to go to war with America and they want to destabilize America and they did that, that would make sense. But I don't think China's interested in a war with America. I think think tanks and Lockheed Martin and McDonald, you know, all these, you know, and all the neocon think tanks and all these people, I think they want wars with China and or Russia. But I don't think China wants a war with us, and I don't think Russia wants a war with us. And I think deep down, our military doesn't want a war with either of these two nations as well. But it doesn't matter, because we've seen what the media can do if they're given enough time to fill people's minds with speculation and fear. They can take something and make it into, you know, take nothing and make it into something. And they can most definitely convince a huge segment of the population of the world that it was China that did this. And if they do that, then everybody starts looking at China in a different way. Now, that might be part of the plan. Somebody's going to get blamed for it. And the one group that's not there is China. So that's what makes me think that it's them. If Russia wasn't there, I would have said Russia would be sort of higher on my list. But again, that they're there. So, and when you know, and they're also, for this Cyber Polygon exercise, they held a training program I mean, which, to give you an idea of the scale of this, they had 200 teams from 48 different countries that were participating in this. So this isn't like a couple guys at the World Economic Forum took mushrooms and started asking what would happen if we had a cyber pandemic. And then they just started drawing on the whiteboard and it was just like, wow, this is crazy. 200 different teams were involved from 48 different countries. This is a big deal. It's a big deal. And you know, I think we've talked enough about the WEF to know that they're up to no good for sure. But I think it's worth reminding people, you know, if you're judged by the company that you keep, then I think it's worth reminding people that the head of technology for the fourth industrial revolution component of the World Economic Forum is Isabel Maxwell, the sister of Ghislaine Maxwell, the daughter of Robert Maxwell. She is an Israel first spy whose sister was running a child trafficking operation for the Mossad and the CIA. Okay. The World Economic Forum put her in charge of the technology. So if there's any sort of questions about maybe they're really simulating this, maybe they're not as bad as you say they are. Dig into it yourself, please. Please do. And take a look at who's involved with that. You start to see some names that are very sketchy. And again, World Economic Forum's Young Leadership Program has produced the likes of Justin Trudeau, Jacinda Ardern, Scott Morrison. You understand? They're involved in it. Lena Nguyen, that weirdo that Frank from Quite Frankly calls a homunculus. I don't even know what that means, but I'm going to have to agree that that's probably what she is. All these people, Emmanuel Macron, I mean, what do they have in common besides being psychopathic lunatics? They all went through the World Economic Forum's Young Leadership Program, and they are in positions of power. And they're not there on accident. They're there for a reason. They need these people. Of course, these guys aren't running the show. You know, Jacinda Ardern is not running the show. She's being paid lots of money to do what she's told. And she's also probably knows that if she doesn't do what she's told, she'll be thrown into a wood chipper. So these guys are involved in it. And but there's some language surrounding this stuff that is making me very nervous. I'm seeing terminology that's coming from the World Economic Forum that sounds very familiar to some other things that I've heard. I'm going to read this. Like the COVID-19 pandemic, cybercrime does not respect borders or ideologies, and no one organization can fight it alone. Okay, that's what's being said by the World Economic Forum. But it also sounds like something you've heard at some of these food scarcity simulations that they've done. No one nation, organization, or business can successfully address global food security. And I'm hearing the same language with carbon, with climate change, too. The case for prioritizing net zero carbon emissions, no one organization, industry, or government can do it alone. This is how they sell the concept of globalism. With fear. We can't do it alone. We can't fight COVID alone. Are you crazy? We've got to get all the countries involved. It's a global problem, requires a global solution by globalists. problem, reaction, solution. Okay. Create the problem. Cyber pandemic. Create the reaction. Ah, we're all gonna die. Solution. Well, we're going to have to ration the amount of meat that you eat. We're going to have to ration your electricity. We're going to have to make sure that you get 87 injections. We're going to have to do this. We're going to have to do that. And if you think that that can't happen, then you have been asleep at the wheel for the last 18 months. Just look what it's doing to people's brains. It's broken their brains with COVID. You have people triple injected, double masked, saying things on social media like, thank God I got the vaccines. Otherwise, it would have been so much worse. It's like, just admit that you haven't had an original thought. Just admit that you're regurgitating talking points you hear on the media. You know, how do you reason with that? How do you reason with a person like that? Except to say, how would you know if it would have been a lot worse if you hadn't been vaccinated? Like, if you haven't figured out that the vaccine gave you the virus, I don't know what to tell you. Like, I don't think anything will wake you up. You probably still think that 19 Arab hijackers with box cutters and magic passports took down 3 buildings with 2 planes. I could show people that evidence and they'll look at it and go, Osama bin Laden. And you go, okay. So the future of digital security is being developed by these partners at the World Economic Forum that include several well-known companies. Now, if you work for these companies, keep an eye on them. You know, keep an eye on what's going on inside. In fact, report to me if you have any sort of inside information that you think might be of use. These aren't the only partners, but these are some of the most brand name that you might recognize. Accenture. It's a huge consulting firm. Global consulting firm. Salesforce. Mark Benioff. Managing partner, World Economic Forum. And Saudi Aramco. Saudi Aramco is the Arab America Corporation. It is the oil company in Saudi Arabia that was put together between the United States and the Saudis. I got my first taste of knowing about Saudi Aramco when I was in boarding school, in high school, because the education system in Saudi Arabia apparently goes to 9th grade and then that's it. If you want to have an education after that, a lot of the people that work for Saudi Aramco were sending their kids off to boarding school. So I had several people at my school that were from Saudi Arabia, Dahran, particularly. And so I knew about it from back then. And they recently went public in like a $2 trillion IPO or something fucking crazy. Like, it was like the biggest IPO ever. And so those are the three organizations that are in the lead position for the World Economic Forum's, for this digital security component: Accenture, Salesforce, and Aramco. But it's not limited to them. They have several partners that are also involved, and it is like a globalist who's who. So we'll start with BlackRock, because of course, PayPal, SWIFT, meaning the SWIFT financial banking system clearing component, MasterCard, Microsoft, Amazon Web Services, Bank of America, JP Morgan Chase, Credit Suisse, UBS, AIG, Marsh & McLennan. AIG and Marsh & McLennan, huh? Brought in the 9/11 guys? I've seen this movie before. KPMG, Palantir, S&P, Cisco, Deloitte, Emirates Group, Equifax, which is credit rating, Hewlett-Packard, Hitachi, IBM, the Depository Trust and Clearing Corporation, Huawei, and more. So, though China wasn't represented, Huawei was there. Interesting. And, you know, I think all these companies have some exposure. Well, I would think all of these companies have exposure to China. So, how does that play in? I don't know. I guess we're going to see if they blame this whole big, you know, pandemic or cyber pandemic on China, then, well, don't say we didn't tell you it was coming. So cybercrime is being run by these banks and insurance companies. They're deep involved in it. These guys have been front running the market for years with their algo, the high frequency trading, the quantum trading. These guys got busted. I remember reading in New York, or maybe they were in New Jersey. They put their high frequency trading operation right next to one of these like internet switch locations. So they were getting it like a millisecond before everybody. I don't know. All these banks have been busted for rigging marketplaces and things like that. Them pretending that they're against cybercrime is laughable. They're literally driving the bus on cybercrime. So they've been using cybercrime to rig marketplaces for a long, long time. Frankly, they're well qualified to be involved in discussion about cybercrimes and things like that and cybersecurity, because they're criminals. It's like when somebody gets caught breaking into like some building, it's, you know, that you're not allowed, nobody can break into. Sometimes the police are like, you want to work a deal? Like, come work for us. Show us how you did it. You know, so the banks know, they understand cybercrime. They're both engaged in it and trying to protect themselves from getting robbed by it. The media is playing a role in this, as they always do, by writing scare stories about Russia. Russian hackers, you know, they're out there. They're going to take down the power grid. I mean, Rachel Maddow told me so. So, you know, it's got to be true. If Rachel Maddow tells you that Vladimir Putin's going to turn off, he's going to have his hackers turn off the power grid in the Northeast. Rachel Maddow can stay warm by just throwing bundles of $100 bills into her fireplace. The media also goes on to say, you know, sort of breathlessly, like, we deal with millions of cyber attacks each day, most of them coming from Russia, China, you know, whoever we want to demonize, Iran. Yeah. Oh yeah. They're all just sitting there hacking us like crazy. They probably are. I would be, if I were in Iran, I'd be hacking, you know, my enemies. I think that they probably consider America to be their enemy. I'm sure all this stuff is happening. But it's always framed in a way like, all of these evil countries are hacking us, and poor defenseless America, we're just sitting here taking it. No, we're not. We're doing all this shit to everybody else. Are you out of your mind? I mean, if Russia's hacking us, I guarantee you we're hacking them times 100. And same with all these countries, but whatever, that's the media's job. You know, they're going to spin it like, well, it's a one-sided cyber crime that's happening. But cybersecurity is a huge part of the World Economic Forum's Great Reset. You're going to have cyber bank runs start and then kick off actual bank runs. You know, when you can't get into your online accounts, so you go down to the local branch and that branch is closed, it's going to be panic time. So, you know, the lockdowns created this weird new, like, industry. Well, I shouldn't say it's weird, but they really of working from home. I shouldn't say weird. I should just say unusual. It was unusual just a year earlier for so many people to be working from home. I recognize that some people did, and there were jobs that there's just some jobs you can't do remotely. You have to physically be there to do them. So anybody that could do it remotely was doing it remotely for the most part. And even some things that you didn't think you could do remotely, they were trying to. And so we created this new way of doing business. And because of that, with so many people working from home now there's a new sort of cyber crime component to this, which is like malware and ransom attacks. And so the World Economic Forum is talking about this. They're saying that just since 2020, malware attacks have increased by 358%, while ransomware attacks have increased by 435%. Now, are these figures factual? I don't know. They might be. But what I do know is that the World Economic Forum doesn't give a flying fuck about you getting ransomware or malware to death. They don't care. They're just saying this is a problem and using it as the pretext and justification to impose some new program that they have, which will prevent malware and ransomware. But you've got to, you know, have an internet ID or something, because you know that's coming. So just be very, very suspicious. And this is from the World Economic Forum on that part. It says, as attacks become more severe and broadly impactful already, sharp tensions between governments impacted by cybercrime and governments complicit in their commission will rise as cybersecurity becomes another wedge for divergence rather than cooperation among nation states. So what they're saying is there's some governments that are getting attacked and there's some governments that are doing the attacking. And we believe this is going to be yet another wedge issue for divergence, meaning just another reason to hate Russia or China or whatever. So they're already setting it up. We know what's coming. Would you like to know the World Economic Forum's solution for this? Because they give you one. They talk about the solution. They say the only way to stop the exponential propagation of a COVID-like cyber threat is to fully disconnect the millions of vulnerable devices from one another and from the internet. So their solution is to disconnect everything. They want to disconnect from, disconnect the millions of vulnerable devices from one another. Do they mean us? Are we the vulnerable devices that they want to disconnect from each other? I mean, maybe. I want to remind people that the internet kill switch was used in Cairo in 2011 when they were having uprisings there. This is how they stop conversations about government malfeasance. They just disconnect you digitally from it. So if we've got the World Economic Forum doing their thing, which is running these simulations, we recognize that they have the opportunity they're going to be the one in charge of all the information. They're going to be the ones telling you how it started, who was involved, what it means, what we need to do to fix it. They're going to be driving the narrative on this with their co-conspirators in the mainstream media actually driving the getaway car as the World Economic Forum just leans out the passenger window and, you know, does drive-by on us in the form of a internet kill switch and cyber pandemic and all of this stuff. You know, just randomly happened. You know, it's just going to randomly happen exactly the way that the World Economic Forum said it was going to happen. So, look, is it reasonable to be concerned about a cyber attack regardless of what the World Economic Forum is saying? Yeah, sure. Absolutely. I think it's reasonable to be aware and be a little bit paranoid of all that stuff. But my suspicion grows when it's the World Economic Forum talking about it, you know, because they're the ones that have motive and opportunity. They're the ones trying to reform society, not me. I have no reason to make up a fake cyber attack. They do. They understand that the best way to transform society is through crisis. This is why Rahm Emanuel, that psychopath of the highest order, says, never let a good crisis go to waste. That's how they think. And a caveat to that would be, and if a good crisis doesn't come organically, make it happen. Now, could Russia or China launch, could China in this scenario launch an actual cyber pandemic? Sure. That's why the story sounds kind of reasonable. Like, that's why people will believe it. Because it's not like aliens launched a cyber attack against us. If they decide that China is the boogeyman, and I think they will, and they pin it on them, then the average guy on the street says, can you believe this? First, it was the fucking coronavirus that those lunatics, you know, let out on us. And now it's this? Like, how much more of this are we going to take? I mean, if you think that can't happen, just remember what was happening after 9/11. People were beating up Hindus that were thinking that they were Muslims. Like, you just wind up a bunch of Americans, get them angry, fill their heads with nonsense about them over there, those people are trying to get you, those Chinese people over there are trying to get you. The average American can't tell the difference between somebody who's Chinese, Vietnamese, Cambodian, or whatever. I actually can, for the most part, because boarding school, there's had so many different friends from so many different countries that I actually got fairly decent at telling who was from where. But I recognize that's rare. Most Americans just go, everybody that's Asian, they must be Chinese, you know? So think of that sort of shit happening where all of our anger is focused on China for doing the cyber pandemic. And meanwhile, most Americans don't know the difference between somebody who's Japanese and Chinese. So it's going to create panic and fear and then hatred, which will be weaponized and used as the justification to transform society. And we're seeing this right now with the hatred being weaponized against anti-vaxxers. Ooh, you dirty anti-vaxxers. Yeah, yeah, whatever. You know, I don't care. They can say whatever they want. I'm not taking their shots. And, you know, I know who's behind this. I understand the game. You understand the game. You've been paying attention. We've been paying attention. Congratulations to all of us. We've been paying attention. So, when we get a cyber pandemic like this, or we get the simulation talking about one, I'm not saying we need to get in our bunker, but I am saying that we should take appropriate actions to be prepared for this. How that looks is going to be very different for each person. But with regard to things like a cyber pandemic that impacts supply chain issues and where you get your food, how you get your food, how fast you get your food, or whether you get your food at all. You know, take advantage of being this tinfoil hat wearing weirdo that you are, we all are, and be a couple steps ahead of everybody else. And look, if you are so inclined, you may be able to profit from it too. Although profiting in a time like this sounds a bit on the disgusting side, just recognize that if you're the guy who's got all the ivermectin, and ivermectin has now been made illegal, then you got something that somebody else wants, and there's a black market opportunity here. So when we're dealing with this, the threats and the possibilities of what could be coming our way, doesn't make you a conspiracy theorist for paying attention and getting prepared in advance. It just makes you smart. If you like this episode, share it with your friends and family. Take the additional step of doing that right now. I certainly do appreciate it. If you want to connect with me, you can do so through the website, theoctopusofglobalcontrol.com, and I will talk to you soon.
The Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall is turning up the heat this summer. Buy now with no down payment and no payments for 120 days.
That means no payments until fall.
No payments until fall. With over 8,000 cars, trucks, and SUVs available, there's something for every budget and lifestyle. Pick your ride, get approved, and drive home today with nothing due until autumn.
But hurry, these offers won't last forever.
Visit Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall and take advantage while selection is strong.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.org.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Menards has what you need to beat the heat. From bottled water to air conditioners and fans, we have everything in stock to keep you from overheating. Patio umbrellas are simple but effective ways to cool down while outside. We also carry a wide assortment of sprinklers, pools, popsicles, and more to help keep the kids cool. Stock up and stay cool with help from Menards.
Save big money at Menards.
You've done it again, finance teams. You closed the books, and it went fine. Sure, some expenses were missing receipts, but that's fine. Stayed late to process invoices by hand. It's all fine. But don't you deserve better than fine? With Ramp, expenses are submitted with a text, invoices are coded automatically, and everything is connected to your accounting system, so you can close the books without all the busy work. Switch your business to ramp.com and love finance again.
The Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall is turning up the heat this summer.
Buy now with no down payment and no payments for 120 days.
That means no payments until fall. No payments until fall.
With over 8,000 cars, trucks, and SUVs available, there's something for every budget and lifestyle. Pick your ride, get approved, and drive home today with nothing due until autumn.
But hurry, these offers won't last forever.
Visit Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall and take advantage while selection is strong.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.org.